Lord Stigmatine confrères and members of the Stigmatine lay group, and anyone who might just chance by this reflection. I'm Father Hensi, and we're engaged in a conversation regarding the concept of communion. The recent documents of the Church, for example, the document on the Notio Communionis of May 1982, the Church's communion, the long document on the College of Bishops, Apostolos Suos, of that year later, 1993. Then earlier, the Christi Fidelis Laici, the union needed among the laity in the Church. Familiaris Consortio of 1981, family communion. Congregavit Nos in Unum, 1984, religious communion. And Priestly Fraternity of Presbyterorum Ordinis number 8. And what I'm doing in this reflection is looking at these documents from the Holy See and showing what St. Gaspar said on these different issues. So we're about to begin a review of a document that I've already submitted, or a series of conversations on the Compendium Rude. That is a parallel to the Jesuit formula, and for us it covers constitutions number 1 through 8. So let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as already has been indicated at some length in the conference on the Compendium Rude, the whole course on the Compendium Rude, we realize that the Founders' Constitution, especially the Compendium Rude, underwent at least 4 separate renditions by St. Gaspar, and the one that was printed by Father Stufella in 1950, the holy year, the year I was a novice, if that's of any interest, shows that there were 4 separate editions with slight variations in each one. But the entire line would simply say the apostolic missionaries are for the assistance of bishops. That would be called the end, the finis, the purpose. And then the second line would be the manner, how do we live as missionari apostolici in obsequium episcoporum? Well, in my reflections, we might begin with John 20:21. As the Father sent me, I am now sending you. So the central ideal here is Jesus personally sent by his Heavenly Father. The apostolici, this would mean the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sent his apostle, and now we are being sent by our vocation on this personal mission of Jesus Christ. The bibliography here would be immense. First of all, it's a very serious study by the 2 Passionist scholars from Chicago, published by Marinol of Orbis Press in the United States. They are usually ultra-modern. But early in 1983, they published this very serious study on the biblical foundations for mission. Marinol, as you may know, is a congregation in America founded for the Far East missions. So that would be a real study to follow. And the fact of the personal mission of Jesus Christ, well, the possible studies are almost endless. We have Father Raymond Brown, who wrote Priest and Bishops, Paulus Press, 1970. He wrote with Father Meyer, The Churches the Apostles Left Behind, in 1984. And he very clearly points out the immense problem that communion has always been in the Church. So when we read the so-called summaries in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and 4, that the whole Church was united in their purposes and so on, we have to say where and when. Father Brown and Father Meyer cooperated in writing Antioch and Rome. Antioch was the see over which Peter was bishop before he became pope and so on. Then there were lesser studies, and one very important study, not lesser, but by Oscar Kuhlmann, the Swiss Calvinist, Peter, disciple, apostle, and martyr, that came out way back in 1958. This Father John Meyer has also been quoted by Pope Benedict. He wrote a series about Jesus, a very substantial reflection in five or six different chapters, Jesus the Marginal Jew. And his volume 3 has as its title, Companions and Competitors. There's a serious study there of the apostles in which one could get much understanding of Jesus' mission shared with the apostles. And the competitors would be like the Pharisees, the scribes, and all of these people. There's also a Father Francis Sullivan who wrote something of a controversial work, From Apostles to Bishops, in Newman Press in 2001. Humbly, in my own academic world in Rome in 1991, I wrote a study that one of our Stigmatine confreres translated, La Formula in Obsequium, nel Linguaggio di San Tommaso d'Aquino. That was published at the Angelicum in 1991, an article, pages 454 to 470. In the other study, I've gone into that more deeply, the study on the apostolic mission, the Compendium Rude. So the key to it all seems to be St. Ignatius's number 8, the purpose of the Society of Jesus. And these are the Latin words, Maius Dei obsequium semper intuendo, always trying to carry out the greater service of God. That's the basic idea. In our Founders Constitution, this very wording appears in Constitution 1, 151, 195, 237, as well as 220. So that's all the first number, Missionarii Apostolici in Obsequium Episcoporum. Just five words that are sometimes looked at the five wounds, because it's very hard to get full agreement on this. And the second constitution, it just says modus, the manner. How is this done? Well, this modus is the modality, the missionary obedience, to live this end as apostolic missionaries described by St. Gaspar Toni. St. Gaspar received on December 20th, 1817, and this present recording is being conducted almost in the second centenary of this anniversary. It was a document from the Holy See naming St. Gaspar an apostolic missionary. Remember, he was a diocesan priest, and this would be something like a Monsignor missionary. At any rate, the exercise of the munerus apostolici, the apostolic duties, is noted more in Constitution number 11, when it speaks of certain members being promoted as professed in the community to take on the perfectum opus sacerdotum, the perfect priestly work, assuming the apostolic mission. So these phrases are much discussed among us, and only in much still there's deep disagreement and reason for there to be so, as I'll try to show here. The goal seems to be graviora ministeria, the more challenging ministries in the church. The idea was, as the Jesuits were prepared intellectually and spiritually, the Stigmatine was meant to do that on a much minor and lesser level. So the professed apostolic missionaries described very fully in Constitution 158, and their varied and proper ministries in the plural is developed in Constitution 185. So there are two separate Stigmatine interpretations of this decree from the Propaganda. On the one hand, some confreres from the Extraordinary General Chapter and a few before that. The Extraordinary General Chapter was 1970 to be the updating with the documents of Vatican II and also to elect a successor to Father Gilbert Feeney, who died very unexpectedly in 1968. So this opinion is that the parish missions for which apostolic service Father Gaspar actually received this degree would be the central apostolic work of the entire congregation. This view dates from 1854, in the writings of John Marani, the first successor of St. Gaspar, but it never was found in any of the writings of St. Gaspar himself. So he added in Latin the terms, this very broad apostolic field, praeter missiones, in addition to the parish missions, the implication being that the missions, the parish missions, are the primary task. For others, and this is where I would also be, my late novice master, Father John Baptist Salpa, and most of the older Stigmatines believed that from among the early confreres, as is evident from the very early general chapters, many held that this decree communicates rather an apostolic spirit of missionary obedience, of carefully accepting, carefully following the direction of bishops, humbly applying for the faculties from the bishops. This is expressed as the modus procedendi. How do we proceed in this apostolic mission? And it's the modus of assuming the broad apostolic mission under the direction of bishops to offer our service through the varied and proper duties of this vocation. This will always be an arduous and difficult challenge, as we read in Constitution 185, and for this there will be a special grace that is given in the grace of vocation. So there are two major theological aspects here, of course, Jesus Christ and ecclesial service. So the radical, total following imitation of Jesus Christ comes down, as we know from the writings of Father Nello della Vedova, to being a model of holy abandonment through him to the entire Trinity. Now, Father della Vedova was also of the opinion that the missions presupposed the primacy of the parish missions. Yet, in his doctoral theses, he says everywhere that the founder's great goal or spiritual style was to do everything in fulfillment of what came to be seen as the will of God, and not to precede this, not to dictate what this should be, but to accept it from the circumstance. And for the Jesuits, the circumstances was the will of the Holy Father, and for us Stigmatines, it would have been the needs, the changing needs in different places of the Church represented by the bishops. So therefore, the spirituality of St. Gaspar has been described as a mysticism of service, honoring God the Father, in imitation of God the Son, following the inspirations of God the Holy Spirit. St. Gaspar synthesizes all of this in his diary of February 26, 1809. We must make a portrait of Jesus Christ in ourselves. This is a kind of a note that he jotted down in his own spiritual diary. So the way I see this is the theme of St. Gaspar seems to be that just as the Father sent Jesus, so does Jesus send the apostles. Constitution number 2, the modus, presents several verbs and descriptions of ecclesial dependence. For example, sub directione et dependentia ordinariorum, under the direction and dependence on those ordinaries, quibus omnino perere debient, to whom they owe entire obedience, and obtaining the faculties to perform this ministry, and always observing the moderation that these bishops ask us to do. So this seems to mean to me that the direction is to live missionary dependence on the bishops, to whom the Stigmatines are to manifest all regarding the apostolic mission. The Stigmatines are to receive the permission and the faculties beforehand and always observe the parameters, the moderation from the bishops regarding the apostolic commitment to which we accept or become involved. So St. Gaspar Bertoni is described, as I said, by Father Nello della Vedova as a model of holy obedience regarding the entire Holy Trinity as an example of apostolic service to the Church. Following the Ignatian interpretation of modus, the modality procedendi, the modus operandi, this provides for St. Gaspar and for the Stigmatines, the modus of our congregation is a so-called sensus Christi, put on the mind of Christ Jesus, is the sensus congregationis. The mind of Christ is the goal of the congregation. I attended a very beautiful class taught in the 1980s at the Jesuit General Chapter, and one of the conferees was a Father Pedro Arupe, the former Father General. And his whole document, his whole conference of the Father General to this course of January 18th, 1979, actually, is when it was, is a kind of a radical, total availability to the Church in an ever more intense mysticism of apostolic missionary service. So Pedro Arupe's title in Spanish was El Nuestro Modo de Proceder, El Nuestro Modo de Agir, Our Manner of Proceeding, Our Manner of Acting. So this is the Institutum Vitae. This is the specific modality of how the Stigmatines live and work. This is the Stigmatine specific manner of following or imitating Christ. This modality provides a living nucleus, a faith choice, rich with the nuances of a hope-filled apostolic mission with a universal charity. So not only is it involved with all three persons of the Trinity, it is also a lifelong exercise of faith, hope, and charity. So the apostolic mission carried out with a universal charity to serve the Church gratuitously anywhere in the diocese or in the world. As Father Bertone wrote in his description of one of the modalities of this Compendium Rude, that in every exercise in behalf of souls, the community is to observe exactly the direction of bishops, obtain from them the ordinary faculties and necessary permissions. That seems to be, from the handwriting of St. Gaspar himself, to be more in accord with the way I understand it. So this would be called the Institutum Vitae. What is the structure of the Stigmatine life? How do we perform? How do we act with these ideals? This modality describes for us, in broad strokes, the nucleus of our spirituality of abandonment to the will of God through availability to the Church, as this is made known to us by the bishops. Herein, there would be implied those specific traits that would be essential and proper to the charism, described throughout then the rest of the Compendium Rude. And these traits need to be fished out or derived or concluded from contemplation in the course of the rest of the 314 original constitutions. The entire Stigmatine modus procedendi, modus operandi, has been approved by the Church repeatedly. This is a kind of Stigmatine line of conduct. This is the spirit of the congregation. There is here in St. Gaspar a marvelous experience of radical evangelism, truly to carry out the will of God by using the words and mission of Jesus Christ. This implies a total following after, a radical imitation of Jesus Christ sent by his Father, with a certain sense of indifference. Then Ignatius spent much time on being content with whatever assignment we're given and with the way life turns out as we strive till the day we die to make it better. The great need in all of us of that spirit of availability, which is indeed a lived martyrdom, always seeking what is the greatest service of the Church and the greatest service of God. So this would be then the Stigmatine charism as understood through Jesus Christ. Now we look at the radical, total availability to the Church in an ever more intense mysticism of apostolic missionary service. Without any disrespect intended, we can say the Our Father, 100 times a day, thy will be done, which is much different than listening to a bishop says, look, I don't need a retreat house, I need catechists, and to shift the entire congregation or province or major work in that direction. This is missionary obedience, a lifelong conscious attitude of fidelity and service to the Church. As St. Ignatius truly lived the sentire cum ecclesia, that not only means to obey the Church, but to feel with the Church, to commit one's ideals and hopes and trusts and prayer to the church. It's a real challenge, and no other congregation has this specific interpretation of in obsequium episcoporum. So to carry out the apostolic mission means to be sent by the church and mediated to the congregation. So an individual stigmatine doesn't write to the bishop and say, look, I just got my doctorate in theology. Can you use me? Although a superior might do that, I don't think a religious should. But anyway, it asks of each professed member the lifelong discipline of availability and flexibility without rigid structures. No one mission is a definitive one. There is a universality of services, as we read in Founders Constitution 185. The broad apostolic mission is developed by St. Gaspar throughout Part 9 of his original constitutions. One significant difference regarding the gratuitous service we might find in the verb St. Gaspar used, servient, they will serve. In the final edition, though, it's the infinitive, which may mean more fully, more completely. An infinitive is precisely infinite in its application. Anyway, I'll leave that to the language and theological experts. The founder truly presents a mysticism of service. The gratuity in the exercise is another example of total abandonment, total trust to God's will. In all three renditions of the Compendium Rudi that have come down to us, the first three numbers hold the same order: end, modus, manner, and gratuitous service. The items in the Compendium Rudi continues this ideal. Then in the first rendition, where the Compendium Rudi only applies a single line to all of these, end means manner and grades and a regimen, and later renditions it assumes a few pages of work. In the final edition, the one that has been printed in the booklet, printed by Father Stofella in 1950, we find about 8 to 11 numbers. And the order is the same as immediately precedes, and the immunus being immune from any ecclesiastical dignity, not to be a good egg so somebody will name you a bishop or a monsignor. This is immunity. We're not supposed to be, technically, a bishop wears a ring because he's married to his diocese, and he's not meant to be a missionary outside that diocese. But stigmatines who are called to serve the bishops are meant to be an extension of their varied apostolic service. He speaks often of the ideal of an international membership, as we find in St. Gaspar's original rule number 183. Then there is a composite number made up of several central apostolic missionary values. There are several means here, media in Latin, mezzi in Italian. First one, spiritual perfection. Well, as we've seen so many times, this is simply St. Paul's great belief that be faithful to the end, because the one who has begun this good work in you will bring it to completion. That's Philippians 1:6. But more directly, 1 Timothy 4:16, attende tibi et doctrine, take care of your own spiritual life and your own learning. Then there are different means, spiritual means of achieving this spiritual perfection: divine office, holy mass, meditation, spiritual reading, and examination of conscience. So then in all of this, there's an intellectual development. And I think most of us would agree that maybe we are a little wanting in this aspect. We have many intuitive members, thanks be to the grace of God. But those who ponder the heat of the day in struggling to get a certain proficiency or competency probably were not as numerous as they used to be. This intellectual development is found Isaiah 43:10, Isaiah 50:4, Ezekiel 6:13, and so on. John 10:14-27, so it's a hope that the church always had for its apostles, and which St. Gaspar certainly had for us as members of his stigmatine family. Then common life. we're all supposed to live the same life. There are no privileged classes or grades. There is a professed grade meant to be performed to the more arduous and talent-commanding services. But within the life, the general and the dishwasher gets the same menu, wears the same habit. So the only penance we have is study, severe study, which may have been lost or at least somewhat damaged in our own lifetime. Then the perpetual observance of vows, the common life, food, clothing, and rooms, and so on. So then it needs to be pointed out that in one of these renditions there is added an entire sentence which does not appear in the final compendium rude, but is the last entrance under chastity. It's called studiosity. And the idea seems to me why this is put under chastity is that there's two requirements or two effects of studiosity. First of all, it's a penance to use all your spare minutes to try to get better in something, to have some competence. And secondly, it fills one's head with spiritual ideals. So the promotion then, following all of these ideals, is a juridical promotion, apostolic promotion, a missionary promotion, all of these different ways in which we can serve the Lord more fully and more completely and also more competently. So in the final copy of the original constitutions, which we have now, the Superior General is called the prelate, and St. Gaspar's hope was that he would be elected for life so that that would stifle any yearning of ambition that any one of us might have. So in a kind of a general way, this is what we intended by this reflection on the Compendium Rude, which, as I say, is also the content of an entire other instruction of about 15 or 20 pages. So this then would conclude my thoughts under the modern document, how Jesus really wanted his apostles to be united in their endeavors, even though they were sent all over the world. Go anywhere into the entire world, baptizing in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So this content of Father Bertone's Compendium Rude would seem to be the similar idea that we're involved in different work, different nationalities, different aspects, contemplation, and also activity. So we'll now take a look at the next document entitled Christi Fidelis Laici, of December 1988, in which communion of the baptized is emphasized. And then we'll take a look at St. Gaspar's commitment to the laity, which is outstanding. So thank you very much for listening. Let us end with a prayer. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, that was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. And thank you for listening.